What's up, everybody? How you doing? Welcome back to the last episode of this season of Living Life Intently, a Live Life Intense podcast. I'm your host, Lee Frazier, coming at you live from the shop here at Margaree Forks at the campground. It's a beautiful sunny day. I'm looking at the new food truck here. And just, you know, enjoying a nice calm afternoon before the weekend kicks off. I want to send a huge thank you to everybody who came out to the live podcast recording at Breton Brewing this past week. We had such a blast. I got to talk to tons of amazing people. We shared a lot of laughs and had a lot of fun doing it. This podcast is going to be different than most. This is the live recording that Canary ended up chopping up. And yeah, man, thanks to everybody who jumped on this podcast and showed up. It was great. And I'd love to actually do it again. Before we jump into this podcast, though, I just want to tell you about some things we got coming up this summer. July 1st is our third annual barbecue with Brian Picard from the Bite House. We're doing a huge basher this year, big barbecue collaboration with a friend of his from Halifax. And we've got Bologna, Colorado here, a blues band, Young Guns, party music. They're from Halifax, and we are fired up for that event. Heading out on Seawall, and then we're going right into that that event. So other than that, we have the annual Island Sauce Co. Barbecue, August 5th, along with the Anthony Floats race that day as well. If you want to come down to Margaree, campground's open. Feel free. You know where to find us. And we're just going to jump right into this podcast.
Please to the stage. Just like for those of you listening to the podcast, just imagine this is the spot where it's like bam, 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 the music part. So yeah, so obviously this is the Strawberry Run premiere, but we thought we would like start off by talking about Seawall a bit. There was a Seawall Trail Film Festival that happened in November, I believe. And five groups of people cut together their own style of film to help promote awareness for the development of the Seawall Trail. So the Seawall Trail is obviously a multi-day guided hike from Bay St. Lawrence, or rather Meek Cove, to Pleasant Bay. The word trail is kind of like a misnomer.
There's no trail.
There's no trail. But the whole point of the Seawall Trail Society is to kind of designate a route that everybody should take. As you've seen, some of the screes you have to traverse are really loose. They fall on the side of a sheer cliff, or you hike along a mountain ridge where if you just went 20 meters north, you could find a really nice patch of softwood to hike through.
Hardwood.
Or hardwood.
Softwood sucks.
But typically you would find, you'll find your way and you will look at the topography in front of you and say, oh, that is the easy way, but it is not actually the easy way. It actually is quite difficult. And so we have a couple of folks here with us today who just got back from the Seawall 2 days ago. Do you guys want to come up and have a chat? Awesome. No. Give them a round of applause. This is Shane Wilkie and Alicia Wilkie.
Please stand.
Yeah, so you guys all went on a trip
this week. I don't know. Time's
this
not
week,
real.
Last week, a bit of both.
So what was your experience?
It was pretty awesome. It was something that we wanted to check off of our bucket list for a long time, and It was pretty cool finally getting to do that.
Yeah, it was cool to experience the seawall and all the weather that came along with it, the ups, the downs, the rain, sunshine, fog.
Yeah, we really got it all, eh?
Yeah.
Except for snow. I mean, I was looking forward to that. But
we saw snow.
We did see snow.
Yeah, we saw it.
There is still snow up there for those of you that are looking for snow these days.
These are a bunch of Shane and Elise's photos from the trip.
Oh, no shit. Man, you did a lot of
Yeah, pretty cool,
there.
Eh?
Yeah. Mind you, I haven't really spoken to him. I thought he was sleeping today. A little backstory. I was texting him to call him today, and he wasn't answering, and usually that means Canary's napping. But you were actually here setting this stuff up, getting stuff going. So
that's right.
Thank you.
So what was the most difficult part of the trip for you both?
Shit, man.
What? Okay, so
just Shit Mountain.
For the folks that are here that aren't familiar with this route, Shit Mountain is it's actually called Sailor Brook Mountain. So it's in a place called Sailor Brook, but it got coined Shit Mountain from Davy and Sky's video, I think. I don't know who coined it, which person exactly it was, but that's how it got its name, was because people were looking at it and being like, shit, we got to climb that. Plus, it also sucks climbing it and descending it. Yeah. You found that the most difficult, hey?
Yeah. I have bruises all over my legs from just like throwing all my weight against the branches and
just talk right into it.
And yeah.
Yeah, with the mic.
But yeah, that was my least favorite part. But yours.
Mine was ending day three after it rained all night day two when we bushwhacked through mist and everything day three and getting to camp as wet as we were. And yeah, that mentally that was really hard.
How long have you folks been like hiking, and how long have you found yourself part of the outdoors community?
I guess like technically just the last couple of years since COVID, I've always like camped and stuff like that, but more hiking and like really exploring the last couple of years since you couldn't go anywhere or do anything.
Yeah, yeah, it was almost like, I don't know, it was like for us anyways, the pandemic was just like a reset. And mm-hmm. It was a chance to kind of take a step back from the lifestyles we were living. And it was a chance to start exploring something new. And for Alicia, it was something she did when she was younger. And I mean, outdoors was kind of new to me.
Yep.
I'm glad you came around to it.
Me too.
And so what is your experience with hiking backcountry or multi-day type style trips?
This was kind of like the biggest we've done.
Yeah.
I mean, like last year we hiked into Pollitt's Cove and camped for a few days and dipping our toes wet in some like backcountry stuff just in like day hikes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Pollitt's Cove was kind of like last year our first real one, I think.
That was a real one.
And so do you find a benefit to having a guide for something like this?
Oh, definitely. Like if we just kind of like picked a route and went, there definitely would have been times where we're just going through like really unnecessarily hard shit.
Oh, yeah,
and you kind of knew a better way.
Yeah, because in that video that we just watched, it doesn't show it because the stuff that's not on the video or the stuff that sucked, right? So if there's no video of it, it means that it was like absolutely horrendous. So we were literally on our hands and knees with our backpacks pushing them. Since then, we've been modified the route a bit. So like the Seawall Trail actual route has been changed quite a bit. I mean, we were at the film fest that Canary talked about. And so like a lot of the route that they're now looking to shift to and do is it's as a result of like kind of like talking to everybody that had hiked it before, because part of the trail was only part of the trail had been hiked before, some of it was hiked, and then I believe some of it was just planned on topo maps and stuff. So but yeah, having feedback and having us suffer through it for days on end, yeah, paid off in your guys' favor, that's for sure. And we did try though, we did like for those of you that haven't hiked it before, there's many different ways of hiking this area. And like Canary said, you kind of got to read topography. You can't just follow a line and follow somebody's GPS coordinates, because 9 times out of 10, a lot of the GPS coordinates that you're going to get are from people that hiked it for the first time, that went through all of the shit. And that was made very evident from a couple guys that tried to trail run it in 24 hours 2 weeks ago. And some of that experience was they slept next to a tree with an emergency bivy overnight and one and done and never going back in that region ever again. Not to say that they're both weapons. They're both like very capable people, but just not experienced in this region and followed a line on a map. But anyways, you guys did really well, and we like streamlined that whole hike. There was a few spots that I had like guessed that were going to be better, and then because we were lean and mean, we really ran them, and you did really well. So yeah, it was a pleasure doing it. We shared a lot of laughs. Here, cheers. There you go. Cheers to everybody. That was a fun trip.
It was.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So, I even found, though, like falling like 30 meters behind you guys, I was going through just like extra thick stuff because I couldn't see exactly which route through that you took.
It's because there's no exact route. You're just going to kind of look at it, you know?
You just go.
As long as you don't lose sight of the person ahead of you, you're good, right?
Did that a couple times.
Well, listen, we're super proud of you guys and super happy that you got to have that experience, and now you'll have to come and do it with us in the winter.
That's the plan.
Yeah, winter expedition, here we come.
All right, well, thanks for coming on the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Boom, boom.
Cheers.
What do we got going, bud? Oh. See, the one thing you didn't set up was the applause light, right? Really? Is that still in the bag? Is it? Oh yeah,
this look at that handsome guy.
You ready for this one?
Yeah. So this is our friend Aiden. He's over there. We're gonna get him up to chat about this, but this was his Seawall Trail film. And for the record, I think there was 5 films. And this was my favorite. This is the one I voted for because I thought it to be the most authentic.
Oh, shit.
And just the one that like really made me laugh the most. So, and was this your first time doing the trail?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Seawall Trail, baby!
Let's welcome Aiden Bailey on the pod. What's up, man?
Nothing. How's it going?
So,
yeah, hanging out.
Rainy out there.
It's a funny story. Aiden messaged me randomly one day on Instagram and was like, man, I really listen to your... I listen to your pod all the time, and I'm from Glace Bay, too, and, you know, I think what you guys just do is pretty cool. And so we... I was like, oh man, we should go on an adventure. And so we went to, I don't know if anybody has ever seen the Skylight Cave in Bedeque. It's the largest cave system in Nova Scotia, and it has where the roof of the cave collapsed in, and so you spelunk to this skylight in the roof, and it's just really, really epic. Unfortunately, it's a protected area now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you're not allowed to go there.
You can't go back there?
No, you can't enter the cave anymore. Legally.
Well, at least we got to go there before.
But we got to go there. And yeah, on that trip, I discovered that Aiden's grandfather was my landlord when I was a little kid. And so we had a little connection after all. But yeah, welcome on the pod, man.
Thank you. It's pretty crazy that I'm on it right now because I used to very frequently, and now here I am.
I have a serious question for you.
Okay, what's that?
Who hiked the bong up Seawall?
I did. I hiked the bong into Seawall Trail, yes. Well, I mean, look, some people, drink and stuff, and that's...
That's all right. That's all right. I'm not judging. It's just just a lot of weight, a lot of extra weight.
It's silicone, so it's pretty light.
Okay, and was there a different version of this played at Seawall Trail?
No, that was the...
That was this one?
Would've been this version, yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
I had too many big spruce then. I thought it was a completely different edit.
No. That's... See, it's funny. I was trying to send you the file for it, but I couldn't find it. I must have.
That's all right.
I might, yeah, but no, that's pretty well the. There was like one or two other versions that I. But then afterwards, I fixed some things up. But yeah,
no shit.
So, tell us about your experience backcountry, and like when did you really get into doing some of these multi-day trips and that sort of thing?
Well, it was a kind of similar thing to what they were saying about you know, during COVID, there was a lot of that. You know, being inside all the time and things like that, and you wanted to get out more. And couple of years, maybe the past like 3-4 years is when I've more so been going a little more back. I've kind of grew up camping and stuff like that with my family, yep. But never did any multi-day thing. I heard of Pollitt's Cove, I'll tell you, from my teacher I had in grade 12 who was talking about it. Me and Ron were in that class, and we wanted to do it. We talked about doing it, and we did that together, I believe, in the summer of 2020, and that kind of kicked off, like, going, like kind of everything, like, really getting into, you know, buying some more gear and, you know, planning more hikes and different things on, you know, time off and things, and, yeah, like, Pollitt's Cove, Money Point, the Lowland Cove, Cape St. Lawrence, a couple other different things, like, around, more so, like, the Foreshoe kind of area down around there, Framboise, like, I did, like, Capelin Cove, and like things around Gooseberry Cove and Wild Cove down around those places and stuff. Yeah, so, but I mean, that's kind of like what I can think of. There's been a lot of places that I've kind of went and explored at. So, I mean, I really kind of, the area around like Mee Cove down to like Dingwall around there, I find very fascinating. So, you know, a lot of like the different day hikes and things too around.
There's a lot of history there, and with your video especially, I found that a lot of the more dangerous areas of the trail you had showcased in your video versus most other folks.
I know. It was funny because I was listening to what you were saying about talking about like following a line on a map, and like that's, you're right, because like you will run into shit like that, because that's kind of what I did a little bit on that. Which, you know, it kind of has its ups and downs, but we kind of just, we were faced with a challenge, kind of just the whatever looked the best was kind of where we went. So, like, you know, in that part when I'm coming down, I said I felt like we were falling down the side of the cliff. That was true, and that was not, you know, the...
That is an actual swamp, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I was right. It's a good thing it didn't go through there.
It we could have just. It is a swamp.
We could have just probably went up around, but I don't know. We were just like, let's go around here. And I don't know. We were, you know, probably, you know, not as experienced, I would say, as, you know, you guys and stuff. And so friggin', maybe.
But that's where it starts, you know.
Yeah.
That's where all that shit starts.
I mean, I know.
I did that same stuff growing up. We did all this stupid shit growing up.
Yeah, it's how you learn, right? But it was like. Yeah, coming through some of those parts were a bit sketchy, but they, you know, you figured it out.
I remember Ron saying the reason why he brought the bow and arrow was...
Oh, yeah, he's afraid of moose.
Afraid of moose.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what it was, because he was there, and he was commenting as the video was
playing. There's... That's so for anybody who's thinking about doing this, they're at the top of Bald Mountain... there are a lot of really large flat rocks and like kind of a barren or a pasture, and a lot of the moose climb up to, on the top of the mountain, and they rut their antlers off. So it's just littered with antlers. So I don't know how many people have told me they've hiked the trail but never successfully got out with an antler. Everybody picks one up and never gets a day hauling it, and then it's just like, screw this.
Yeah, it sucked. I was really upset.
Did you get one out?
No, man.
You picked two up and never got one out.
Yeah, I was pissed. It sucked. Like, I thought that I was going to... I really thought the second one I was going to get. But I didn't. I'll tell you, in that part when I'm like, it says on the screen, it's like realizing when we've strayed a bit. I don't know what happened there, because when I look back at it, I could have just went straight, keep going down that hill or the mountain, but it's very steep.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, thinking, I don't want to fall down it. So we kind of just kept trying to, I don't know, do one of these, but you can't really do that there.
The scree on that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So when we're kind of coming down through that, like
we were trying to get over here, but it was down here, and I had the antlers with me. You said, you know, you see them kind of going down the
using it as a hiking pole.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Yes. And but then we got down to a part, and we realized, all right, it just drops like straight off, like pretty well, like down there, like we can't go that way, and so we had to get across over to that. You know, the trail there. Mm-hmm. And so we just had to do that. We go through the woods there, and that sucked.
And a lot of those trails are just made by moose.
Yeah. Is that what that's, I'm assuming that is? Yeah.
And they're just
all
the
game
path,
trails.
They're just the path of least resistance for them to hike up the mountain.
So when you're back there in any of those mountains, especially in that range, like in that area, if you get up to the top and you see a lot of moose trails, they'll literally be, it's like, it looks like an actual hiking trail.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because there's so, it's like he said, a path of least resistance, right? So all the moose and all the game will go through a certain area and they'll know.
Yeah.
And there's spots there that are like, honestly, it looks like Poliskov hiking trail now. Not like 10 years ago when it used to be a four-wheeler trail.
I feel like we've seen some like that a couple of times, and I kind of was thinking, oh, that is this like a pat? But
you trust it, man. Like when you're in those, all that whole mountain range, the northern mountain range, if you're in there, trust those fucking moose trails.
Well,
we did,
and it got it got
you just take,
down
you just
there.
Follow the shit. You just literally follow like little nuggets the whole way down a mountain.
That's great. But that's how I lost the antler, was trying to get through those woods. And I couldn't get through with it. It was too much. And then it was still quite steep, and I was like falling, and I just couldn't go with it. I should have strapped it to my pack. I didn't think of that. But I had
wouldn't have mattered. You would have.
I know. I had like my camera strapped on the back, so it was like a bulk. You know, it didn't work. But you know what's funny? I did later a later Paulette's Cove trip. I found a bone. I don't know what it is, but it is a big, large bone off of something, and it's close to an antler. So I took that. So I have that.
It's like a human femur.
No, there's no way. It's not a human femur. Maybe. I don't know. It's pretty big. It's like this big. Yeah.
Well, listen, man, thanks for coming down and talking about your experience.
Thank you for having me on.
Hopefully we get to go have an adventure.
Yes,
I'd
love to. Yeah. That would be great.
That'd like be great.
Are you working on my side of the island this year?
No, I'm not, unfortunately. I'm working at Don Hatcher's truck repair, the apprentice diesel mechanic up there. I was working for
Adam.
Yeah, there last year. I miss it working over there. It's a lot of fun. I was living out of my truck over on Shady Camp Island for like the last little bit of it.
You could have parked in my woods.
It was great.
Occurred
to me. But yeah, it never occurred to me. It just didn't. I was hanging out with the cows over there having fun. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, give him a round of applause.
We met a cab driver.
Don't leave me hanging.
No, that's what you were doing.
So, speaking of Seawall Trail, Jamie, you want to come up and have a chat?
Oh, the winter trip, eh?
Yeah, we did it in the winter.
Are we going to tell this story about Jimmy, how Jimmy took a 500-mil water bottle? You know? Or is that the story we're going to tell? The import? Sorry, Jimmy, if you're listening. He doesn't listen to the shit.
He doesn't listen. He doesn't even answer your texts.
I wouldn't either if I was in Sweden fishing.
Mr. Jamie LaRuzic.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
You doing well today?
A little sore.
Jamie and I went on a trip the past couple of days.
Your pictures aren't showing, by the way.
I know. I didn't put them up yet.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm just making sure. You know.
I'm getting there.
We got Ashmax video. Oh, the turtles.
So we found a whole pile of wild turtles. Check this out. Well, they're just hanging out. Isn't that cute? I never saw a wild turtle in my life. We saw 31 of them over a 25-kilometer stretch of river. We did lower river and...
upper river inhabitants.
And lower.
Yeah.
So we're a bit sore. And then we did the Marguerite. And a big... one thing we're going to talk about here is like pack rafting versus canoeing. And
are we?
Yeah. Sure, okay. And like, and that.
This is all new to me, man.
Yeah. And that what will become evident in the screening of Strawberry Run is that maybe canoeing didn't work that time. And
hey, Denis, how is that canoe doing? Will it ever see water again? Will it ever see water again? I don't know. Time will tell, buddy. Time will tell. Yeah.
But yeah, Jamie, you have a lot of backcountry experience, and you've come on a bunch of... we've done a bunch of trips together.
Yeah.
Tell us what your experience is, like backcountry, and then maybe tell us what your experience is with the pack rafts versus like canoes and that sort of thing.
So, did a lot of hiking, camping, fishing as a kid with my dad. Growing up, had kids, got away from it. Met some guys in the rock climbing aspect of things. Started doing some backcountry hikes, we'll say, searching for some cliffs and crags. And then met up a couple of years ago with these guys. Did some winter adventures, crossed the Highlands, Operation Whiteout. Did the seawall in the winter.
That's right, yeah.
And did a couple of pack raft trips now. I've been doing kayaking for years, but the pack raft is a lightweight, agile, very stable but maneuverable boat. They're a great tool, eh, John? And for low water, able to get into places that probably canoes and kayaks can't.
So we did Upper River Inhabitants, and if we were to do that, we would never be able to do that on a canoe or a kayak.
No.
We would have just had to walk the entire river, but we only had to get out of the boats once to portage a log jam.
Yeah, that's it.
In 17.
You didn't run it hard enough.
17K. We only had to get out of the boat once, so that was pretty good.
So this was this is one of the trips that have been like rivers on the island that I had no clue about until about a year ago. And I'm pretty jealous you guys actually got out on it, because I've been looking at I've been focusing on stuff in the Highlands so much that I haven't really looked elsewhere. And as someone that grew up here, like I grew up on the Margaree in northeast, southwest, that sort of thing, Middle River and Bedeck, and you know, we know all of that sort of stuff. But when you start looking at maps and you start looking at paddling trips on Cape Breton Island, there's tons and tons and tons of routes. But this river specifically, it just looked really fun because it was flat. It meanders. It's all S turns through what looks like marsh, and you guys could probably speak on that. It might be marsh. I don't know if it is or not.
Upper section isn't. It's actually really nice. I would say more coniferous forest area. But for those of you who don't know, River Inhabitants, we started at the Highway Bridge on Route 105, just past River Dennis area in Glendale.
River Dennis.
Yeah.
River Denny. Yeah.
River Denny. Denny. And we went all the way to the highway bridge on old Route 4 in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So it was quite a trip. I don't know. We were on the river for 7 hours total, maybe.
Yeah, so all that meandering, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would be really fun to do.
Yeah, it was.
It's like a little anaconda.
It's so squirrely. We were coming through probably around here. And I looked up on the mountainside and I saw, you know, like some cows and a trailer. And I was like, man, that's a really, really weird place for a trailer. That's a really nice trailer. And then a little while later, I was like, oh, man, look, another trailer. And then a little while later, I was like, man, they really like their trailers out here. And then I just realized that it's because we were going back and forth. It was the same trailer on the side of the mountain, but I was just seeing it from different angles. Yeah. But the river itself, the upper side of it was sometimes 6 inches of water.
Yeah, not a lot. And then some of the pools would be 3 or 4 feet deep. Yeah. Probably great, really good for trout fishing. I did bring a fishing rod, did a little bit of fishing, but we spent more time just really enjoying the scenery and the wildlife. Saw a huge eagle, a couple of beavers, a deer, you know.
I thought that eagle was going to carry you away.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Yeah, it was pretty big. Yeah, prehistoric. If somebody told me that was a pterodactyl, I would have believed it. But yeah, and then so because we had... we had so many turtles. We got to the halfway mark, and there was a forest there. And we were like, man, should we stay here? Like, maybe we should just go a little bit further and find another forest. And we were like, yeah, let's do that. And then there just wasn't any more forest. There was just turtle habitats for the rest of the thing. And, like, we really didn't feel comfortable. And we didn't really feel comfortable camping there. So we just did finish the rest of the river, 36.2K. We did the whole river in a day. And then we went over and
we ate tacos.
We showed up at Lee's and he made us tacos. But
corn tortillas, right? Handmade corn tortillas.
Yeah.
Just and specify.
I just want to say too, is like traditionally we wouldn't divulge where it's in poor taste to divulge where a turtle habitat is because they're so at risk of poaching. But this area is actually monitored really, really well. It's a very well-known turtle habitat. And I mean, we saw one game spy, but an acquaintance of mine in UNIR says they have Moultrie game spies and trail cams all up and down the river. So this area is obviously closely monitored. They know they follow these turtles very well. So we don't really kind of mind talking about it, I guess. But yeah, it was pretty cool. And then so the next day we went where?
Margaree River. Which is a lot of fun in a pack raft. The water is way more flowing, we'll say. There's a lot of rifts and rapids. We had a good time. We went from Portree to...
Yeah. Yeah. Where?
Pool. Out. What?
The library?
Yeah, so, yeah. So yeah. Forks Pool, yeah. So you pulled out of the Forks.
Yeah. So 20-some K.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a good day.
And, like, to put it in perspective... where the river at lower river inhabitants was a bit more still and slow. We did 36.2 in 10 hours. Margaree, we did 22 in 4 hours, 22 kilometers in 4 hours. So we had a lot of fun. I have tendonitis in both elbows and both shoulders right now.
And a sunburn.
And I'm good. The two of us are scorched. But yeah. So what were you going to say, Lee?
What was it? Oh. I don't know. No.
What's your how did you find the pack raft versus the canoe in taking on the Margaree?
Well, I've never done the Margaree in a canoe.
Or kayak.
Yeah, I did the pack raft tip, actually, that Lee's probably going to show in a bit. Yeah, they're just so functional. So lightweight if you have to portage. You can put a lot of gear in them. The boats that we used actually have storage within the pontoons, like the side pouches of the boat.
They're not fun to portage with full gear, by the way. FYI.
Anyways. FYI. But... yeah, no, they're a lot of fun. Like I said, very maneuverable, lightweight. You get wet though if you don't have the right setup, but that's cool. That's part of the fun too. So
yeah, the Margaree is just a different. So from doing multiple rivers on the island, it's just the volume, right? So you volume loss of elevation. So for those of you that are here that have never been on the Margaree River, only about half. So we have two river systems to give you a little context, and we go to Southwest Margaree River, Southwest. I say it real Margaree-ish, and then Northeast, which is the salmon fishing river. The Southwest comes from Lake Ainslie, Northeast comes from the Highland. So it feeds from Barrens, all the marshland, all that sort of stuff, all the spring water. About half the river on the Northeast is shut down the fishing. And in the 80s, they put in this playing, this area called the everybody calls it the sanctuary. And so essentially it's the top ridge on the river, big interval bridge. There upwards, you're not allowed to fish. Back in the early 80s, 70s and stuff, there was fishing up there. But it was very remote, hard to get to. Yeah, here we go. The bridge is somewhere's right there, right?
If any of y'all ever been to Cape Clear, when you're standing on Cape Clear looking down, then that all the sanctuary.
Yeah, you're still in the sanctuary then. And so because of that, nobody has been up there. And as kids, we used to hike up there. And... We used to go up. What's also called King Ross. I call it Big Interval. But anyways, you get up to the top, and there's a four-wheeler trail that goes to Shetty Camp. And if you go through, there's an old farm with an old trail that goes below Cape Clear to First Fork. We used to go hiking up there all the time as kids, and I always was wondering about this is pre you know, Waterfalls of Cape Breton book, pre Benoit being here, that sort of stuff. And we were probably about 12, 13, and this old hippie guy used to talk about this like big waterfalls called Rocky Brook. And if those of you know it, you know what I mean. It's like one of the bigger waterfalls in Nova Scotia. And you usually access it from the Highlands. And he's like, no, you got to hike up a whole day, swim a fucking gorge, and climb up this face, and then do this whole thing. And it sounded like this big adventure as kids. So we used to hike up and try to find it. It took us like 3 years to get in there. And we still didn't get to the base of the falls. But we found other ones on the way and had fun memories and adventures and stuff. So that's kind of was the start of it. But this whole river, as far as paddling-wise, no one had really ever done it. There was people swimming the upper river, counting salmon back in the 80s and 90s. DFO was doing it. But as far as paddling, it didn't happen. And then, yeah. And then now, this is why this film that we're going to show later was part of that idea. And Jamie was on, well, both of you guys were actually on that trip in the winter, doing the seawall in the winter. Yeah. We did a modified version of the seawall in the winter. We went more inland. And we're sitting around kind of a campfire one night and chit-chatting about trips, and this was one of the ones. And then we ended up doing a paddling trip on the Margaree.
What was your experience paddling the Margaree via pack raft when you did the strawberry run?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. It was, well, actually hired Lee as a guide for that, me and another gentleman from Halifax. I'd never done
what, 2 years ago?
Yeah,
get that mic right in front of
you. I've never done a big, long trip like that before. Spent some time in Kedgy, but to do some whitewater stuff, it's probably one of the most memorable trips that I've been on as of yet. Uh-huh. We spent 4 days. When we got to the lower river, we did some fly fishing, caught some trout, just to camp and be up in that area where probably, you know, handfuls of people have been so far was pretty majestic, right?
It's pretty crazy that shit, that's what gets me, is that stuff exists here. And because people don't access it. That's what I was getting at. That's right. Nobody goes up there fishing. There's no eyes on the river.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everybody forgets that exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming down and having a chat with us.
Thank you.
Big round of applause. Thanks, Jamie. Really funny story. Jamie and I did a trip
last year.
Yeah, across Loch Lomond, and my boat sank crossing Loch Lomond, and I had to paddle a kayak that was full of water all the way to shore. And what did I yell at you when I was sinking? You
just you gotta save this. And I'm like, I pull up and I'm thinking he's gonna hand me his cell phone.
Yeah. You can take my phone, you can take my backpack, you can take all my clothes and all my food, but there is no way I'm making it back without nicotine. Speaking of trips on the Margaree, why don't we pull Mike Morrison up?
Oh,
come on up there.
So this
buddy
is from the most recent trip, and if anybody's listened to the podcast before, this was the episode. It was the meat rescue episode. It was a little bit backstory. So those of you that aren't aware of this, we'll get into it. Just briefly, we won't go too far into it, but
what's up?
How we doing?
Good. Let's get that mic right up here.
Just
your
right
face.
In your mouth.
All right, here we go.
So. So, what was your experience doing the strawberry run?
Yeah, let's get the first experience out of the way first. And then the recent one.
Yeah, so we, last summer, I guess, a group of us did, inspired by Lee and the trips he had been guiding. And just as a bit of backstory, I had always been kind of really curious and a bit obsessed about the Upper Margaree as well, having spent a lot of summers, all my summers as a kid in that area, and a lot of time on the river. And then, I had considered hiking up there and stuff. And then when I saw that Lee was guiding these trips up there, I was really that just kind of like fired me up to try to do this, a similar trip. So we did some planning, and a group of six of us went up last summer and did a, we didn't go quite up to the headwaters just because of water levels and stuff like that, but we went up and did you know, quite far up on the river, right down to East Margaree.
Mm-hmm. You're lucky you had enough water to even do that.
Yeah, we did a lot of walking. There was a lot of walking, a lot of dragging. Yeah, it was a tough, especially first day up, and the way up in the upper river was quite tough to just to keep the boats floating, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It was when I hiked down, so I went and hiked down to scout and look at the water levels, because at the time I didn't really have any reference points on water meters because I wasn't paying attention. It was really early. And I would just literally walk down to the bridge, Creamery Bridge or Doyle's, and I'd look at the river level and I go, wow, it's not very good upriver, or it's going to be shallow or whatever, yeah. Right? And then I ended up going up a couple days before they came down, and I'm like, oh, you know what? If you guys probably should be below Rocky Brook. And so we dropped them off of this turnaround. It's an old logging road turnaround spot. And to the right is like a kilometer and you're at the river. To the left was what they went through, which was unknown. I was like, I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know what you're going to do.
We got dropped. So both trips that I've done up there, we got dropped off in the same place. The first time, and the distance from the drop off to the river measured approximately the same. The first time took us about 5-ish hours to get to the river, a kilometer and a half. And when we did it a couple weeks ago, it took 45 minutes. So that was the difference. Just in poor choice of route was the problem there.
And that's the Highlands. That's the Cape Breton Highlands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the so when they went and did the trip, it was also a day where I think I was doing like a staff barbecue, right? So I had like brisket or something that I was smoking, wasn't it?
Yeah. We got there at 8 a.m, the first thing you said, and your eyes were bugging out of your head. You're like, oh, I've been up since 4:30 smoking a brisket. The smoke was all in your eyes and stuff.
So. Yeah. So we were having like a big barbecue, clearing out the freezer, and I was smoking a bunch of shit. And they left. They were at there first thing in the morning, right? And then you showed up, or you were here, and we had, I think it was like 8 o'clock at night, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I mean, the brisket was gone at that point, but we're all still having drinks and hanging out. And Canary got a message, got a DM. And I just thought it was a guy trying to pick him up on Instagram. That's what I thought it was. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. That's kind of a weird message. And then he pulled me aside and he goes, no, 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 you got to read the next message. And it was like, I'm so-and-so, RCMP officer out of Inverness. We've had a spot device pinged SOS on the river. We called the person's contact that had the spot device. Their wife said they rented stuff from you guys. Do you know anything about it? And I'm like, yeah. I just got a text from Mike saying that they're at camp from my Garmin. Can you send me the GPS coordinates? We rocked into the house, loaded up on laptop, and they were like, you know, the same drop-off location. I just go down the road a little bit, and then I can get to them in an hour. So it was probably, I don't know, what time? It was 8:30, 9 o'clock before we left. We got to them at like 11 o'clock at night and called off. So basically, the RCMP officer, when I talked to him on the phone, was like, yeah, so a spot pinged SOS. Search and rescue said it was too remote to get to, so we're mobilizing Sartex out of Greenwood, and they're going to stage it at the Marguerite Airport. So the helicopter's being mobilized right now. And I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. We can get there in like an hour. Like, let us go down and get to them in an hour, and I'll text you from my Garmin. And so I added him as a contact. Canary and I ripped up the Highlands, got up the top of the mountain. We're bombing down the side of the river with headlamps on. He's singing. I don't know what he's singing, but he's like singing at the top of his lungs going down over this mountain towards the river. And then we get down to the bottom, and we run across the river. And I could just see headlamps clicking on. And then
if I was smart enough, I would have prepared this already.
Oh, the picture?
Yeah. Oh, it's like, I have a little video.
Oh, there's a video?
Keep talking.
Oh, anyways. So we get down the river, and we're yelling, and we're trudging across the top of the river with headlamps on, and these guys start waking up from a slumber, and they're like, whoa, what's going on? What's happening?
The lesson here is don't rely too heavily on technology, because we had a technology failure.
Yeah, so spot device malfunction, pinned SOS, and
we were completely oblivious, happy in camp, hanging out. had some food, had some beers.
And then, like, the stormtroopers would come from the sky and, like, a helicopter.
Yeah, so it was awesome. And now...
Meeting.
Meesh.
What is this? Oh, this is your story from that day?
This is my story, my Instagram story.
I watched this when we got out of the woods 2 days later. I was roaring.
We had 60 pounds of snow crab.
Look at that meat.
Jesus Christ. This is ridiculous.
The fucking sucker.
Yeah, that stuff went in. Oh my god.
There's a lot of stories up there.
Yeah, you
are. Get that custom sauce.
Where's the
phone on emergency dummy mission? Look out, Shady Camp Fire Department. Here comes me rescue.
Should have dropped out.
Well, there we are.
So this is the photo we sent the RCMP. Right there.
Yeah, we climbed the mountain and then sent it to them.
My fuck. This mountain is steep. Short of fucking rock climbing. That was fucking fucked. Old buddy, we're back on the road again with Shirley Seward.
Anybody get that joke?
No. I can't wait to be on your mom again.
He was through with me by then. Lee's been up for 21 hours by now.
Oh, dude, it smells like mushroom soup again. Oh, the truck!
Do you get me snoring?
No.
What's one thing we learned today, Lee? Smart devices, when they malfunction, there's a 50-50 chance they will automatically send an SOS.
So that's about where we were at. We crossed that. We scared the shit out of you guys.
Oh, it was insane. It was bizarre. Like, it was, yeah. Yeah, it's indescribable to be sound asleep after a crazy, like an amazing day, but like a super tough day, and you get into that real, like, heavy duty in the woods kind of sleep, and then you hear somebody screaming your friend's name in the woods in the middle of the night. bit weird. And it took you 7 hours to get where you are in the middle of nowhere. It
took us like 45 minutes.
You know, fine. It took you 45 minutes. So. You had way less gear than us.
So, rounding it off, tell us about your experience taking the pack raft through down the river
this year.
This year versus that trip.
So this, two weeks ago, I went up with Lee and somebody that he was guiding down the river. And, completely different experience in terms of the water level. So quite high water. Definitely the biggest kind of white water I've ever paddled through. A little scary at times, pushed my comfort zone for sure. And like for all the walking we did last year when we did it, I didn't purposely get out of the boat even once. I fell out a couple times, but but yeah,
did you? I don't remember that.
Yeah, no. I went over a couple times.
Mm. I remember getting the throw rod out a couple times.
Not for me.
No, not for you. No. I had to do a couple of river rescues.
For the record, yeah. So totally different experience. The river up there is super wild. Like even in low water, it's just wild country up there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to see it in that high water state was really, really cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't been up that far on the river. Only to hike it, but it feels like you're in Jurassic Park.
And especially when you know, like, I'm pretty familiar with the lower part of the river. It's a different river altogether when you're up that high. The river kind of transitions a few times as you travel down it, and that upper part is just it's just wild country. It's really cool.
Imagine being able to fish.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Those holes. Imagine back in the day. So I was talking to a guy, an old guy that used to guide there when he was a kid. And they had a cabin. There was a log cabin at Rocky Brook down by the water that DFO managed or DNR managed. And the guides would use. And they would drive their trucks up the highlands to whatever road, hike over the mountain, and then spend weeks up there guiding. Like you're walking, you know, 10, 15 kilometers to up and down rivers, fishing all these holes. And there's a pool there, a rocky pool. That must be 25 feet deep. It's crazy. It's and bookended by class 3-ish rapids.
So and then sheer rock faces like those rock faces go into the pools down whatever 10, 20 feet. It's crazy. It's amazing.
Nuts. Yeah. Huge pool. Big sand beach. It's like perfect spot to fish from.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, can't fish there anymore.
But you can pack raft.
Yeah.
So, is there anything you want to tell people about your experience or do you have any words of encouragement or any advice?
The pack rafts are super cool. They're very agile. It's like, it really is the perfect, I think. I mean, unless you're really skilled in one of those short little kayaks that people use, those whitewater kayaks, which I've never been in, but one of those might be good up there. But like for that kind of...
I don't know if you and I'd fit in one of those.
Oh, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
But for that kind of, for that kind of trip where you're hiking in, and like, you know, going through some rough water and stuff like that and potentially portaging and stuff, those pack rafts are just awesome for that.
Yeah.
It's just super fun.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough trip. That's definitely a tough trip for sure. But you know, we went up there with zero, we've done lots of canoeing and kayaking, but zero rafting experience and really zero whitewater experience. And you know, lots of woods experience and stuff, but we made it work, and it was totally doable.
Let's bring Denis up here. Denis, why don't you join us? So Denis owns Rado Raft. He owns the pack rafting company that we the pack rafts that we use. What's up? Get that mic right up to your mouth.
How's it going?
Good. So, Denis, why don't you introduce yourself and tell the audience about yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Denis Thibault. We've been on the island just about 2 years now. And I started in the outdoors with a little Sevilor dinghy, an inflatable toy. My mom would drop me off at the top of the river, pick me up at the bottom. She had no idea I was like raging through grade 3 whitewater without a clue what I was doing. I should have drowned when I was 14. I really should have. And so that's where the passion of wild places and water really kind of fulfilled me and kind of set my path for life, right? And since then, I've learned to kayak, I've learned to canoe, I've learned all these skills, but then I've seen, like, why do you need to spend years and years developing skills when you can just have equipment that makes it accessible and fun and whatnot? So that's why I developed Rado Raft, to try to help get people into wild places.
Awesome. We certainly appreciate it. I would think. Jamie and I had a lot of fun the other day in the rafts. That was my first time in a pack raft. And when somebody asked me, like, what is a pack raft, which many people have over the past few days, I say, you know an inflatable kayak? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, not that.
Way better than that.
Yeah.
I'll just say, too, so our trip last year, between Lee and Denis, that's who outfitted us for that trip, because pack rafting is so so new to this area that, you know, we got a couple of boats from Lee and a couple of boats from Denis, and without them, we wouldn't have been able to do the trip, because they're just not as...
available.
They're not available.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
Denis, how can... I guess if people wanted to use a pack raft, we could go to Lee, or we can go to you now?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Lee's obviously based out at Live Life Intense on the Marguerite, specializes in that territory.
No,
you don't?
No, not there.
Somewhere else. But yeah, we're based in Sydney, and we are set up to let people rent the rafts and take them wherever your adventures see fit.
I pulled up some pictures of the canoe that after the strawberry run, the canoe the boys gave back to you.
Did you take this in my house?
I took these in your house the other day.
So I'd like to point out the ticket to friendship.
Yeah. It's they completely destroyed the canoe.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm going to back this one up a bit. Okay, so
they didn't destroy it. The river destroyed it.
Yeah, I was... we're putting together this trip that this project is about, and I was looking for canoes. I wanted to buy them. But at the time, this was COVID, right? So supply chains were, like, blocked up. People were back-ordered. All the manufacturers were, like, we have 2 years of orders. We can't give you we can't sell one. And so even contacting people that were selling canoes, like Mike at Old Creole, they were everything was spoken for, all pre-sold. So I put an open call out on, I think, Instagram or Facebook or something. And AJ Frazier said he, no relation to me, but he reached out and he said he had like a canoe available to borrow. And I was like, well, I'll rent them. I'm like, well, we'll replace it if we damage it, obviously. And I go, I need more because we have more people on this trip. And so I had a cold call. I was renovating a house. And Denis called me up one day and he's like, yeah, my name's Denis and I got a lot of canoes. And I'm moving to Sydney. And then we started chatting. And I showed up to pick the canoes up. You're living in AJ's basement, right?
I was living in AJ's good spot.
So he had like a trailer full of canoes. And he's loading this Kevlar canoe on, really nice one. And I go, no. He was like barely touching the trail. I'm like, absolutely not. I have a Kevlar canoe and we demolished it on the Marguerite on the lower section. And people that are going in this canoe are not as experienced as they should.
So then I pulled up my favorite canoe, a Swift Des Moines. Classic, stable, great for white water, ready to go, super tough material. I accidentally told him it was my favorite canoe.
Yeah. And then
and he was like, no, I can't take your favorite canoe.
Just talk closer to
yeah. To and he said, no, he wouldn't take my favorite canoe.
He was like, do you have any pieces of shit that you don't mind that if it gets fucked, then, you know, you won't care. And yeah. And he's like, I think I got something. It's got no seats and it's delaminating and I'm halfway done fixing it. And I was like, well, that sounds like the boat for us. And then I go, yeah, throw that on the trailer, yeah. If we beat this up, yeah, whatever. But if it gets beat up to the point that you can't repair it, and then I'll just replace it. And then, we took it out on the river with way too much film gear, way too much weight, 3 people in the boat. One person out of the 3 had canoe experience. The other 2, because we had to go lean because people didn't want, we couldn't go with, like, COVID restrictions and a bunch of stuff, and people were like all worried about optics, and I was like, I want to film a project, I really don't care. So, but optics won, and we had one person that knew how to canoe and 2 people that had no fucking clue what they were doing and shit tons of gear. And we didn't wrap this canoe, we wrapped AJ's canoe. It didn't bend, but it got stuck, and I got a picture of that, but you don't have it. Jimmy, okay, so leading up on this trip, nobody had dry bags, and we had a bunch of photographers and videographers on this trip we must have had close to $100,000 worth of film gear. Everybody had borrowed dry bags from me except for Jimmy Peterson, who said, no, I'll be good with double bagging my fucking brand new $8,000 camera and $20,000 lens in two garbage bags and putting it in the canoe. And then they wrapped the canoe, and the only way that got saved was because Logan Landry picked it up while they were going sideways and put it on a rock in the middle of the river. While the rest of the
hero
bags
move.
Floated downriver, and I fished them out personally. And then he's like, well, I should have got a dry bag. I go, yeah, you fucking right. You should have got a dry
bag. That's like the water bottle. He had a like personal size Big 8 water bottle. And
500 mil.
Yeah, 500 mil. We were doing the seawall in the winter. And like it's like the first day, and everybody's like, okay, we're boiling water. I mean, everything's frozen. So you scoop snow, you melt it down, and that's your water. And that's your water for the trip. And he said, okay, everybody, water bottles in. We're going to fill water bottles. And Jimmy hands the little Big 8 bottle. And we're like, dude, what's that? And he goes, that's my water bottle. Like, what? You've only been drinking 500 mils of water since we got here? He's like, yeah. Like, we drank like 6 liters of water yesterday. Jimmy drank 500 mils.
Well, I gave him, I had two extra ones. No, I don't need that. I'll just take this water bottle. We're good. It's a little hike. I'll just fill on the way. I'm like, dude.
Mental.
Yeah, lunatic. Not thinking.
So listen, fellas, thanks for coming on. And Denis, how can people get a hold of you to rent pack rafts?
So the email address is support@rattoraft.com, or just look us up on Facebook or Instagram at rattoraft.
Awesome. I just want to thank everybody for coming out and sitting through this. This is the first time we've done a podcast episode live. So yeah, give yourselves a round of applause.
Applause light. We need an applause light. We're going to get an applause light for sure. Oh, we're playing this right now? I didn't even get backstory to this thing.
We're going to jump right into her.
Buddy, let's give a little bit of backstory. Come on. You can't just jump into it.
All right, go ahead. Give her.
Is it paused?
Yep.
Are you sure? You guys can fuck off. So like we said, we shot this on... Oh, you can read it right now. We shot this on the Marguerite River. This premiered... Some of you may have watched this already, but this premiered at Night of Adventure Film Festival back at the end of April. And without Dave, who runs that film festival, he's the guy behind Night of Adventure, without him actually touching base, this probably would never have got finished and edited. Simply because this year when we filmed this was 2021. The Seawall video watch that we shot, we had shot this in June. We went to Seawall in September, and we literally walked out the Paulus Cove trailhead, went to Live Life Intense, packed a bag, and went to Kedji and did a 10-day canoe trip and filmed that project as well, which will be the next one that comes out whenever that comes out. But this took 2 years to edit, and without Dave's kind of push to try to get done for the film festival, it probably would never have gotten done. And the original version was like an hour long, and it was very chronological order of the whole trip, more like a vlog style. And then in the editing process, Dave texted me and he said, can you get it done by the end of April for this film festival? And I go, yeah. And he goes, but one hitch, it's got to be 12 minutes long max. And I was like, shit, I've got an hour long project that needs to be cut down to 12 minutes. So that was kind of how this happened. And about a week and a half out, I didn't like the edit and scrapped the entire project and started from new. So that's how this went. And then
classic.
I spent, yeah, it was midnight. I had dinner with my parents. I came back and I go, I don't like this project. I hate it. What am I going to do? And then I made a coffee and stayed up until basically 5 a.m. making a framework for it and writing a storyboard. And then finished it, and I haven't watched this since it premiered, so here we go.
It's always been very fascinating to me how the mind works, right? We have thousands of thoughts a day, but for some reason, certain ones take hold and never really leave. I mean, I'm 38 years old, and I've been thinking about paddling the entire Marguerite River from source to sea for almost 30 years. hybrid between a documentary and a vlog sort of thing. I don't know. It's a story about an idea and how just the smallest of ideas paired with a little bit of creativity can lead you down a path you never knew existed. Which is fitting because while editing this film, I did have another idea that seemed better than the original idea a lot of ideas were on here. And so I scrapped the whole project and started from new. But let's not get ahead of ourselves and wheel it back to where this idea originally started.
Big thanks again to Breton Brewery. They've been a supporter of a bunch of our trips. We did the Tent Dwellers. We did a whole bunch of other trips. And so, yeah, they've always been awesome. And thanks to the bar staff and for hosting us tonight. This has been fun. What?
Am I supposed to say something?
It's been good. It's been good.
It's been
time.
Great, man. Yeah. No, Breton's, we've had a working relationship with them since, I think, like the first year they started the brewery. We're putting this trip together. It was the first, I think it was the first email that I sent to pitch for a sponsorship on it. So, yeah. And then this spring, somebody else reached out about doing a screening of this at a different place. And I just said, no, I'm going to reach out to Breton and see if they want to do it first. And here we are. And I want to thank everybody for coming out. It's been, it's been fun.
And that wraps our season.
Pretty much.
Sick.
Done.
Thanks for coming out, everybody.